This is a Monday edition of Ozarks at Large.
Hello, I'm Johnny Kay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Ozarks at Large. That was Johnny Cash, and Mr. Cash is the subject of this week's Prior Center Profile. To help me navigate through the history of Johnny Cash is Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Prior Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, thanks for coming back.
What a man. This was fun to do. Thanks for having me.
You bet. There is arguably... I mean, Arkansas is rife with wonderful entertainers, right? Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Glenn Campbell, who we profiled a few weeks ago, Louis Jordan. Johnny Cash, however, is among the biggest.
The man in black.
Let's talk about Johnny Cash. He is from Arkansas. He, of course, is connected to Dyess, Arkansas, right?
Yes, that's where he was. Well, yeah. That's, you know, well, let's let him tell this story about where he was actually born.
I was born between, you know where Kingsland is, between Pine Bluff and Fordyce. Well, I wasn't born right in Kingsland, you know. I was born in the cotton patch in the woods about 4 miles north of Kingsland, Arkansas, on February 26, 1932. My father was an itinerant worker. He was a hard worker. He rode the rails on and hopped the boxcars going looking for work. 1932 was a hard time for everybody in this country. And he always sent the money back home to my mother wherever he'd go, to Mississippi, Arkansas, whatever kind of a job of work he could get, as he called it. And I grew up by the railroad tracks, and maybe that's why I have an affinity for the trains. And I was always looking for my daddy to come back home. When I was very young, we moved up to northeast Arkansas.
Johnny Cash talking about his early life in Arkansas. And you can just...
Sort of Kingsland,
right.
Yeah.
And that just points out, Randy, that there is... Obviously, he was a real figure, but there is a mythic sort of story that has built up around Johnny Cash.
Well, he was quite a character. Quite a man... had quite a storied life, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. And he starts out as, you know, he's at Sun Records. He's a rockabilly artist. He gains high-profile hit songs, is sort of someone who charts on the rock and roll, the country charts, and also is someone who becomes known for... wanting to represent voices of vulnerable populations.
Well, are you talking about prisoners?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, he did, you know, Folsom Prison. And he played at San Quentin, and which I think is awesome. KATV, Channel 7, sponsored him to come to Cummins Prison in 1969, and it was a great background. They pulled up just a flatbed trailer, and Johnny Cash and June, his wife, and the Carter family, and the Statler brothers, all climbed up on this flatbed trailer and played a full show. It was awesome.
Won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Daddy sing bass.
Mama sing tenor.
You can't talk about Arkansas prisons at that time without talking about, you know, the abuse and the horrible conditions. And for a popular entertainer to go to a prison, that was not normal operating procedure for most musicians or entertainers.
No, and he actually met with Winthrop Rockefeller, the governor, and brought him there, and had, you know, all the people from the prison there. And he talked about issues. So he did that at several prisons around the country.
Daddy will sing, B.
Mama sing tonight.
And little brother will join right in there.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky. In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Was obviously after, you know, Sun Records, and he gains fame. He lived in Tennessee and everything like that. He was not, though, a stranger to coming back to his native state, was he?
Well, this was a really cool thing. In 1976, the bicentennial, he came back to visit Kingsland, his hometown, sort of, and. A guy named Geraldo Rivera, who was a reporter for Good Morning America, got on a train with he and June and did a huge report, and it was really cool.
How does it feel coming home? They say you can never come home, but here you are, you're coming home, and the people responded so enthusiastically and with so much love. How does it feel?
Feels good. Really feels good. I wish I could stay more than just a few minutes, though. I had just about 5 minutes to walk down that country road past where my house was, where I was born. I had to get back on the bus and come get on the train, but I've seen all the people I knew. You know, they were all around there. It's always good to see the old faces. And it's something how all the places seem so much smaller when you go back. You know, like you go back to your old home place, everything seems so much smaller.
Did you ever think when your daddy was working that little farm that you had, and you were just really on the, down and out, that you would become who you became and then be able to come back and give the people so much joy by coming back home?
You know, I always knew, Geraldo, that I was going to do what I'm doing. Somehow, some way, I always knew it. I never thought about things like this, you know, all the tributes and honors and so forth, but I always knew I would be an entertainer. I knew that this is what my life is meant to be.
You also have some cuts from sort of a banquet or a salute.
Yeah. All right, so back in the early 80s, KATV Channel 7 used to do these toast and roast, celebrity toast and roast events. It's a black tie event, and it would raise money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. And they would get different people. They had Glenn Campbell. They had other folks, but they got Johnny Cash to come and be the roasted person. And his wife came, and this is kind of what she had to say. And I mean, it wasn't necessarily a roast. She was very candid about the problems that Johnny had.
Johnny Cash, he's known for a lot of things. First of all, when you think of Johnny Cash, you think of drugs, because they wrote all kinds of books. Every magazine in the country told all about how he went through with all the drug bit and all. He took them all, everything except some of the new things that come along that the kids probably know more, a whole lot more about than he does. But he did his share of all of that back then. You think about trains, and you think about black, and you think about prisons. Well, that's Johnny Cash. You think of all of those things.
That's June Carter talking about Johnny Cash. And you say this was the early 80s?
Yes. Yeah, it's about 82.
Okay.
She was talking about his, you know, drug addiction and his problems. But you know who else was there?
Tell me.
Minnie Pearl. Remember Minnie Pearl?
I remember Minnie Pearl. For those who don't, she was a comedian who played to generally a country music sort of friendly audience.
Well, she had the hat with the tag still on it, right? Yeah.
Right.
But she was a huge star at the time, and she came in to Little Rock to pay a tribute to Johnny Cash. And, well, she talked about his time at the Grand Ole Opry, his first time at the Grand Ole Opry, which, you know, that's huge.
I was in the dressing room off to the side of the historic old Ryman Auditorium one night, and I had heard that the guest that night was a young man named Johnny Cash. And I had been on the road. I stayed on the road for 27 years on one-night stands, and I had to live to be as old as I am before I realized the young people have another meaning for that. But what I was going to say was that I was sitting in that dressing room, and this young, handsome man, oh, he was, still is, but he was young and virile, and he was a beautiful man. Oh, and had this magnificent voice, and he was scared. He said he was scared. People are scared when they come on the opera for the first time. It's a prestigious show. It's an old show. We will pass our 58th birthday, our anniversary, this October, and I will pass my 43rd year there at the same time. And it's a... Johnny came in and sat down by me, and we were sort of going over the show. And I thought then that I knew that he was headed for real great things. And he has had them, and he will have them, and he is having them. But I'm glad to be here tonight and say howdy to all you good Arkansas people. And it's a wonderful occasion to have people, your people, accept you and tell you how much they love you. It's a very beautiful thing. And I wasn't born here, but if it ever happens again, I'm gonna sit there and it happens right here. Good man, John. You're great.
Minnie Pearl at a toast and roast of Johnny
Can
Cash.
You tell? She
oh, yes.
Kinda liked
oh,
me.
Yes.
Yeah.
you know, we heard June Carter talking pretty honestly about Johnny Cash's substance abuse and challenges. I actually saw him talk about those challenges in the late 80s in Fayetteville.
Yes. Tell me about that.
Well, so this was the one year that I worked at Kix 104 radio station. And in the summer at that point, Fayetteville hosted for a few years, at least in a row, something, I won't remember the right title, but it was the Drug and Education Conference. So people who dealt with rehab or drug and alcohol abuse education would meet in Fayetteville at what was then called the Hilton. Other years they had had, and they would always have sort of a keynote speaker. One year it was B.J. Thomas, remember him? The guy who sang Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. One year it was Suzanne Summers, the actress who had been in Three's Company. Well, I think it's 1988, it was Johnny Cash. As the news director at Kix 104, I was able to go in and watch this performance. It was in front of the educators and the counselors. And
wow.
I'll tell you, Randy, so here's the thing. I was allowed to record 5 minutes, right? Because I needed to go back and have some tape for the afternoon newscasts that day. Mm-hmm. And so they said, you could tape 5 minutes. I think it might have even been, you can get the first 5 minutes. And after that, you can't do it. Well, here's the thing, Randy. I forgot to turn off my tape recorder. It was a cassette recorder. And I looked down at the end of this, and I had recorded most of it. And I think, and this says a lot about who I am, I think I went back to Kix 104, used a few minutes of it a few seconds of it for the newscast, and then probably destroyed it because I thought I'd get thrown in the slammer or something.
Well, see, KATV, Tim Hamilton, who was our photographer, came in, and he thought the same thing.
Really?
And he started to roll, and before he knew it, it was over. And I had the full hour that I just
listened to. He did the same thing?
Yesterday, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
We got the whole thing. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I found a clip of him, you know, talking about his, you know, addiction. And, you know, the thing is, he really did own it.
I was telling Reba, it's been so long since I've been back to Arkansas, and I'm so happy that I could come for this kind of a thing and call it a homecoming, because today you're going to see the heart and soul, hopefully, of a real drug addict and alcoholic who gratefully, by the grace of God, is recovering. But you're going to hear it from me. Anything you want to hear out of me, you're going to get it. I'm going to talk a while, may sing a little bit. I don't know, I never did, but I'm going to try. But then I'm going to answer some questions. If you got anything, I always raise more questions than I answer when I'm talking, because I have had such a wonderful, long, strange, unusual, blessed life that I have to stop and think, well, you know, they don't know what I'm talking about.
I am so happy this is preserved, because I have been kicking myself for, you know, 32 years that I didn't keep this cassette tape.
I had planned the whole time to end this segment with a song called Hurt. By Nine Inch Nails that he did on his last album that Rick Rubin got him to do. But, you know, I was watching this performance of his in Fayetteville, and he picks up his guitar and he said, you know, he's alone on the stage with an acoustic guitar, and it's a rehab show. And he said, people ask me about why I'm called the Man in Black. And man, I had to do this song.
Yeah.
This is the one to close with.
All right. Well, we will close with it. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. So many things are being digitized. Just Google Pryor Center. Randy, if you'll have us, we'll let you come back and do another one.
Hey, if you'll have me, I'll be here.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back. You wonder why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone. Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear the black for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the times. I wear the black for the sick and the lonely old.
This is Ozarks at Large.